Hey everybody, this episode of the Press Road Podcast is brought to you by Out of the Park Developments, makers of Out of the Park Baseball 18, Franchise Hockey Manager 4, and MLB Manager 2017. I'd like to invite you all to join us every Wednesday night for Out of the Park Night across the world on Twitch. We have TJ Lowerman, aka That Sports Gamer, live streaming Out of the Park Baseball 18 at 9 p.m. Eastern. And then at 10 p.m. Eastern, our hockey team takes over with Community Manager Adam Burnett and producer Jeff Riddle's streaming Franchise Hockey Manager 3. So please check them out every Wednesday night starting at 9 p.m. on twitch.tv/OOTPDevelopments. 9 p.m. is the baseball, 10 p.m. is the hockey. And if you can't watch it live, don't worry. Everything is archived to our YouTube page at youtube.com/OOTPDevelopments. We have a lot of fun with the community doing these live streams, and we really just would love to have you join us and check it out and tell us what you think. Everybody, enjoy the show.
Fans of sports games, it's an absurd and unfortunate thing that 80% or so of the year's releases all happen within a single month's time. It is the reality we live in, though. Getting a bit of a jump on their releases with week early trials that just came out are three of those games: NBA Live 18, NHL 18, and NBA 2K18. So those are the games we're going to be discussing our first impressions of in this episode of the Press Row Podcast. I'm your host, Brian Weedye, Pasta Padre. Joining me for this episode are Rich Grisham and Mills Gaming TV. Rich, let's start with you. How you been? You been able to play much of anything besides these handful of games here recently?
That's it. That's all I've been able to do. It's the best time of the year. All of the great sports games are either out or coming out really soon. And the real sports have happened. We had our first NFL regular season game of the year last night.
Yeah,
we're on to our second week of big-time college football. I mean, it doesn't get any better than this time of year. So, yep, I've been playing all the sports games, which we'll talk about tonight, or most of them anyway, because that's all that I could possibly do.
Yeah, and it's why I'm so tired lately. There's so much going on, but it's also the most exciting time of the year for me. Mills Gaming TV, what have you been streaming, man? What's been the latest on your end of things?
Well, between NHL, NBA Live, the Prelude, obviously, Madden, a lot of Madden. And then I decided, you know, I don't have enough to play, so I bought Destiny 2. I bought XCOM 2 and all of the DLC because, you know, that's a short game. I can probably get through that in a couple of, months. And, you know, why not play a couple scary games, too? Darkwood came out. They did a really cool thing where, not to get too far into it, but the developers of Darkwood wanted to give the game away free to battle against CD key sellers. And so they put it up on an actual complete legal torrent. And told people about it with all the hot fixes on it and said, hey, if you want to support us, you can. If not, don't. It's a top-down horror game, and it's the first time in any top-down game I've legitimately had constant dread and fear, and it's really good. So props to them on that.
All right. So we now have these full 10-hour trials available through EA Access on Xbox One. For both NBA Live 18 and NHL 18, so we're going to get to those in just a bit. I think we'll start first with NBA 2K18, because what we have available to us now is more of a demo of sorts. It's called The Prelude, follows up what was offered last year also, which is the beginning of the My Career mode and the ability to transfer your progress to the full game when you complete it. There's also a 2KU tutorial scrimmage mode, which you're able to play to try and get a sense of the actual 5-on-5 gameplay and all the various improvements there. But I'll just start off before I get into my opinion on the Prelude and the beginning of my career. Just a few things I observed when I was starting it. It looks like the create a player system has degraded in some sense. You don't have the same number of options, and certainly with things like hairstyles, I think I only started out with like 5 to choose from, and I believe that's because you're going to be able to go in the whole quote-unquote neighborhood and get your haircuts and stuff like that, and facial hair and stuff. I'm a little worried that's going to be all behind VC. It seems like maybe they're taking options away and putting it behind VC. Well, we won't know until we have the full game. But you start off, you play through a few street games, you play through a couple scrimmages with an NBA team. And the basis of the story is that you were a DJ, I guess, or you were a basketball player, then you became a DJ, and now you're playing street ball, and for some reason an NBA team wants to sign you. So that's where we're at with the story. It's very short. You only get those five short gameplay type experiences, and you can't replay the prelude. Once you've done it, it's over. You can't redo it. You create your character. You can transfer in your face scan from the MyNBA 2K18 app. You choose your position. You choose your primary and secondary skills, which is a new aspect for this year as far as you can have primary and secondary as opposed to just one kind of skill set. My team got crushed in the first two games. Big reason is all the players on the court are terrible, including yourself. You're rated something like, you don't even see your rating, I don't think, but it's either 55 or 60. Nobody can make a shot. Your teammates are helpless. So I didn't think that was a great first experience way to kind of bring people in, but no draft, no high school, no colleges like we're in my career last year. It is this street ball to NBA type story, which is ironically similar to, in a sense, to what NBA Live is doing. But before I tell you about my thoughts overall on the prelude, let's go to you, Mills. First, give me your thoughts coming out of playing the prelude for, you know, the only one chance you have at it.
I enjoyed the experience. I've always been a fan of the storylines they give you. Even though they're a little crazy, walking through the outside courts against ATM and these other characters that are there.
Yeah, I saw some on the back of their jerseys that aren't really recognized as characters, but
right.
they put time into trying to come up with these nicknames. Yeah.
And it felt cool to be at that scene where there are other people you know. I mean, Ronnie, but like Russell Westbrook was there, and it felt kind of like you were in an actual scene in a show. So that I like that. Mm-hmm. Gameplay wise, it's tough to tell gameplay wise because you're playing with a guy that is not maybe average level skilled. I chose a defending three-pointer. I always love 3-and-D guys, and Mike Wang on Twitter today said, don't get too caught up in the meta of the game. All of the archetypes will be able to dominate in their own way. So I went with what I'm good at. I'm an excellent on-ball defender, and when I'm on the offensive side, I set picks and leak out for threes. So
hopefully it's the case that it's going to be balanced across all the different ones, because in the past few years, there's definitely been dominant positions and types of players as far as like a stretch big or whatever that have advantages that other players do not. So I'm hopefully they're right about that and they're going to be balanced throughout the year.
I agree with you on that, because the bonuses that people get off certain gameplay mechanics definitely led towards like the stretch big or the athletic playmaker, the playmaker that, or the shot creator, even,
or
for that matter.
Shooters. Yeah.
Yeah. Like all of those things created unbalanced archetypes. And for me, I'm a guy that I love it the way that NHL went, you know, last year, where they just made archetypes and everyone felt balanced. I love that almost MOBA feel, where you can pick whatever you want to do as long as it fits the way you like to play and everything's fairly even. Other than that, it felt short.
It felt.
Yeah, and you mentioned the 2KU. I really wish there was a way to play, you know, maybe 5-minute quarters of just two teams. Mm-hmm. Just to get a feel for that 5-on-5 gameplay and the updates that they have to that. That would have made the prelude much better to me, but I get what they're doing. They don't really need to do that. They have an entire sales base already. They don't need to put too much out there. They just need to get your, you know, get your feet just a little wet with what's going on. So in that respect, I liked it. I wish it was a little longer, and I wish there was a little bit more to do.
Yeah, the 2KU thing, I just can't do it. I can't play that way, because what happens is every other time down the court, it seems like the game pauses, literally freezes to give you some tutorial tip that you probably already know. And it usually happens right while you're in the middle of a move or in the air for a jump shot or are pressing a button. And it just, it's hard to really get a feel for, to get in any sort of rhythm that way. And but I will say that based on what I've seen from people who have the patience to play that way, they've been really encouraged with the gameplay improvements and the way the game seems to be shaping up so far. Rich Gresham, what did you think of The Prelude?
I really enjoyed it. I decided to do what I never do, which is I was a 7-foot center. Because I'm always a two guard. I'm always a two guard. And I don't know why I'm always a two guard. And I said to myself, I'm going to do something different. So for the first time that I can remember, I went big and I just dominated. My team won all of our games. I was setting picks. I was getting rebounds. I was making outlet passes. I was filling the lane. I was dunking. I was doing all of the stuff that I could never do whenever I started off any NBA 2K game, because I was always a two guard. And, you know, so it was, I had a blast. My team won all of our games. Like, I think I played 5 games. I think there were, what, 3 on threes and then 2 5-on-5s when you go not the playground, but when you go from one of the tournaments to the NBA. And of course, I was the net. So I had a blast. I loved it. I was a dominant 7-foot center who was just doing anything I wanted to on the court, which is rare for me. So I enjoyed every second of it.
Okay. I thought it was dull. So this was just me. I thought it was dull. Now, I'm not making a determination that my career mode is going to be dull, what, you know, beyond this point. We only have this very beginning. And oftentimes in stories, the beginning drags, and it's just kind of setting up a backstory or giving you the pieces to learn that you're going to be able to, you know, fulfill later on in the story and with your skill sets, and you're not there yet. Like I said, you start rated poorly. We lost the first couple games, but we're talked to by the other characters like we had won, like we were playing great. And so that was a little weird, but obviously they're just sticking to the story there. I just didn't get much out of it. It just, you're starting rated too low. The characters annoyed me immediately. We don't know anything about their backstory, you know, as far as setting up why is this guy, why is he coming back, really? Who is this friend that's in his apartment? Why does he have such a nice apartment already when he's a DJ? Who are these other people around? So I don't feel like it started strong. But again, that's just the beginning. There's obviously a lot more to go. And they've, you know, in the past, we've criticized parts of the story modes in the 2K games for characters and for storylines and for relatability and dialogue and everything like that. But ultimately, I think everybody's ended up enjoying the experience. So we'll just have to see whether that gets there for us or not. But as far as, like, Mills, this path they're taking you, as far as you're playing a little bit on the street, then you're getting picked up by an NBA team, seems less compelling to me than, like, when we had the high school games and the college games and an NBA draft last year. Do you agree with me on that?
To an extent, I'm giving it the benefit of the doubt and waiting to see what happens. The two previous stories have been pretty good. So I'm going to say that at some point we're either going to get a flashback on what happened, we're going to get backstory on what happened with DJ, or there's no way they're just going to jump you in at that point. My feeling is you're going to figure out why, what happened to him and all this stuff, who these side characters are that are popping up, like that ATM guy. Like, I want to know who he is. Is he going to be my rival throughout this thing? Like, they normally have somebody that kind of follows you around and you get into fights with and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I'm if it's what it is in this prelude and that's the true start to this mode, then yeah, I'll be a little upset. But my feeling is this is the prelude. This is just getting you into it. Then they're going to give you like a backstory, like flashbacks, and go back and play that and then bring you back up to speed.
You know, it's interesting. I was monitoring social media. I was monitoring Operation Sports Forum just to get a sense of the temperature around the prelude. And compared to last year, I think there was a lot of excitement for and coming out of the prelude last year and a lot of negativity towards it this year. And I think part of that is obviously it's a very short experience. I saw a lot of comments on Twitter that it took longer to download than to play, you know. So things like that obviously are going to affect the way people feel about it. They don't feel like they're getting much from this prelude. But also, people were really excited about the college games in last year's My Career and even the high school and just the story. The amount of progress you made in the prelude last year was far more significant than what we got this year. But, you know. You can't get everything.
It's such a brilliant and bold move by 2K to do what they've done the last couple of years, which is to say, we are not giving up September to EA anymore. Mm. I mean, here we are. Madden's been out for 2 weeks. The NHL is out, at least in early access. And so is the NBA Live demo and the NBA Live game on EA Access. And here we are leading off the episode where that has all happened with the 2K Prelude, which is a free demo. What a fantastic, brilliant move by these guys to do that. It works perfectly.
Hey, everybody. We're going to take just a moment here to thank our sponsors this week, HelloFresh. And also, so that I can make a personal appeal to you, do you want to help the Press Row podcast? And do you want to also save $30 on some great food? Well, if you go to HelloFresh.com and you use the promo code PressRow30, that's PressRow30, you can save $30 on your first week's delivery of some great food. HelloFresh is a meal service delivery kit that is on a mission to save home cooking because they feel it's just too good to go away. They want to make cooking more fun, so they focus on the whole experience, not just the final plate. They think of themselves as a farm-to-box company because they want everyone to have access to fresh ingredients that inspire great meals. But they don't stop there. They're also a couch-to-kitchen company because they think the best way to kick those 5 p.m. excuses is by feeling unstoppable in the kitchen. And they're also they're a fork-to-feel-good company because when you cook and eat delicious and healthy meals, you're going to want to keep doing it again. They offer a classic box, a veggie box, and a family box. And you can order 3 to 5 different meals per week designed for 2 to 4 people. And new recipes are created every single week. They make cooking more fun so you can focus on the whole experience, right? And they are constantly coming up with new recipes. They employ two full-time registered dietitians who review each recipe to make sure it's nutritionally balanced. They deliver it to your doorstep in a recyclable insulated box for free. And now they're offering light fall meals, and they've just introduced breakfast options too, right? So you get delicious ingredients that you'll love to eat, simple recipes you'll love to cook. So just get cooking, and it's less than $10 a meal, and that's even before you saved your first $30. So as you guys know, I've used HelloFresh multiple times. They always deliver a really nice package. Everything comes in a beautiful box that is cold because they've got the ice packs in there that I've used multiple times all summer long. And they give you exactly the ingredients that you need, no more, no less. And it takes about 30 minutes. It's very clear instructions, and they make it really easy to do. So here's what you do. I mentioned it early. Go to HelloFresh.com and enter the code PressRow30. And that's $30 off your first week of delivery. So go to HelloFresh.com and enter PressRow30. We'd really appreciate it. I know you're going to love it. I use it. I'm a customer. So once again, HelloFresh.com, PressRow30 for $30 off. Some great meals. Thanks, and enjoy the rest of the show.
Okay, well, let's talk about a different game that we can play a little bit more of, and that's NBA Live 18. So I'm not going to try and match up NBA Live 18 versus NBA 2K18. But as I'm preparing my review for NBA Live 18, and as I play it more, I found that there are some things it does better, or there are some things that I enjoy more with NBA Live 18. That doesn't mean I'm going to say I recommend it over NBA 2K18 or anything, but I'm going to get into some of that when we talk here. But there's also some major issues with NBA Live 18 that I discovered quickly, which is a little alarming to me, because I'm not testing the game necessarily. I'm not going with the purpose of trying to find issues, but jumped out at me when I was just doing regular type of review play. So I want to go through some of the things in NBA Live 18. We obviously have spent only a limited number of hours with it so far, but what I really like about it, and what I would say, if you are into it from the demo, if you enjoyed the one career mode, which is kind of a story mode, not really a story mode, but the blending of the street play with the NBA, with first take segments, and I feel like, based on what we just played with the Prelude versus the one, I prefer what NBA Live 18 is offering. It's not dominated by microtransactions. It's you don't have to sacrifice one area of your game for another as far as improving this, meaning, or getting these clothes, meaning you can't do this or that in other modes because of a virtual currency that goes across the whole game. I'm really enjoying the one. But that's the only thing I can recommend for NBA Live 18, besides I think the gameplay is fun, is that the one is really good. Franchise mode is, I don't want to sound hyperbolic, but it's kind of a disaster, franchise mode. There's a few weird design decisions, like they changed it, so now instead of moving forward by days, you're moving forward by weeks. And what that means is you don't see CPU results until you've advanced the week. It's like in Madden, you advance a week. But in NBA Live, you're now, you might play three games. Like I looked the first week of the season, my team played three games. We were 2-1. The only other teams that had any results were the teams that we had played. And then you advance the week and everybody else has three games played now. It's weird, and it screws up the end of the season for you, because if you're in any sort of a playoff race, you don't actually know what your seeding is going to be or whether you made it in until you've advanced the week and see several game results come in. So that's a really odd design decision, really odd quirk with franchise mode. There's also a fake player. I don't know who it is, and really, frankly, it doesn't matter if that player, they want them there or not. It's a fake player rated 90 that's signed by the Dallas Mavericks in every franchise, goes on to win Rookie of the Year in every franchise, averages 25 or so points and like 12 assists in every franchise. Big issue, because there's no way to keep the CPU from signing this fake player out of free agency. SimStats, a little weird. I haven't really analyzed it fully, but SimStats, there are some high scores in games. There are some low scores in games. I saw some games end with scores of like 60, and this is with full 12-minute quarters. Had a 6-seeded Heat beat the 7-seeded Grizzlies in the NBA Finals. I guess it's not impossible. Unlikely. But also, the bigger issue in simulation is that CPU teams don't complete trades. If you look through the transaction log at the end of the season, you will not find a single trade made by a CPU team. So outside of, it has a very clean look to it. You'll be familiar with franchise mode if you've played Madden franchise. It's kind of laid out similarly. Some of its features, like progression, are very similar. But it's got, and it also has play the moments, which I tweeted about, which is a really cool way to simulate through a game, but then also have influence on it. But major issues in franchise mode, if that's important to you. I'll get into some of the other features as we go, but let's hear from someone else. Mills, you want to start with your thoughts, because I know you've played a considerable amount of Live so far through the demo and now EA Access.
So my thoughts on Live are that gameplay is where most of the time went. And I think that's pretty obvious. If you compare, you don't even have to compare Live 18 to Live 16. It's two completely different experiences at this point on the court. The online portion as well. The 5-on-5, the 5 versus 5 CPU player co-op. Mm-hmm. All of those modes are extremely well done. The Ultimate Team leaves a little to be desired. I wish there would have been a draft.
Is it just really, like, I went into it, and it doesn't look like FIFA's or Madden's. It seems really basic to me. Is that a fair assessment?
It is very basic, but I think it's also the mode that they can add on the most post-release.
That's true. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I think that's the easiest one for them to say, hey, if you want a draft mode, that's something we could probably patch in. Mm-hmm. If you want different, like right now there's 144 solos to do. Like, I'm guessing that will go up at some point. Right now, the only way, like, you can matchmake against other people, and the matchmaking is a little wonky in terms of just playing on the Xbox, on the EA Access version, and matching up against people with other Ultimate Teams. So, I agree with you on franchise mode to an extent. It is very, you could tell they just needed to get the basics in. And I don't think that should surprise us, considering franchise mode is, for the most part, while you'll hear devs say it is the important mode, it is the mode that they want to make sure that all the base gamers get, we can all be honest that franchise mode is the one that, you know, we're going to get basically running at first and then build up to it. Rex himself, Rex Dixon of Madden, said that one of the reasons that Madden's franchise lagged behind is because they want to make sure NBA Live and Madden run feature similar or mirror each other feature wise in years to come. Mm-hmm. Both games coming out of Tiburon down there in Orlando. And you can tell there's a definitive look of Madden, as you said, in that NBA Live. You could tell a lot of their stuff came directly from Madden. So I'm going to guess franchise mode as it stands, they'll bug fix. I don't think that's going to be a problem. Like what you said, the training for the CPU, mm-hmm. I noticed that as well. I also noticed a lot of people have noticed that random free agent that ends up being like the MVP at the end of the year for a lot of CPU teams.
He's really good.
Yeah, and there's no, you can't do anything about it because there's no roster editing. Again, something that they've already said they can patch in. So
His name is Alan Hinners, and I Googled it to make sure this wasn't a real person. It's not, right. Well, I'm sure there's someone out there named Alan Hinners, but no basketball player.
So I will say that the modes in terms of Ultimate Team, which again, I think is going to be built upon, and franchise, which I think will be bug fixed. I think the real star of NBA Live is on the court. Their gameplay is really smooth and extremely good and true to basketball. They only have, I was extremely impressed that without multiple offensive sets, like individual team offensive sets, which is a drawback. It is a drawback that teams don't have what they run in real life, with the exception of like the 1-4 and the 3-2, which is base for everybody. How differently the games play out, like the difference in the ebbs and flows of the games just on based on runs and based on individual player. I think individual player ID is done very well, while team ID probably lacks a little bit. Mm-hmm. And the only gameplay issue that I could find the most is rebounding when a ball hits the ground, or rebounding and loose balls. Mm-hmm. When a ball hits the court, like everybody gets a little awkward not knowing what to do. So, but gameplay-wise, and I said this during the demo, we talked about this before, it does what, you know, if you do something wrong, it's very good at telling you what you did wrong. If you do something right, it's very good at telling you what you did right. I think it teaches how to play the game. Maybe it doesn't teach basketball, but it teaches you how to play the game really well, and I think that's been a focal point for EA as a whole with their onboarding. From we talked about the NHL on ice trainer, Madden building it into modes. So I think that's NBA Live's taking a lot of that as well, teaching how to play the actual basketball game, which is something I was happy to see.
Yeah. I one of the things that does stand out gameplay wise for me is that it is more accessible than the competition, from the dribble moves to the shot meter and the feedback of guarded versus open, to running plays. it's a lot easier to grasp. It's a lot easier to be successful at and make cool things happen. That, and I'm not saying that in a sense that it's like arcadey. It's just a lot easier to take control of what's happening on the court. And so I think that's important for a lot of people who find basketball games, especially in the 5-on-5. It's a different story when you're controlling just your own player, but in the 5-on-5, who find that kind of overwhelming. Gameplay, for me, I like the differentiation as far as you can tell, I think you alluded a bit to it, but you can tell what players are good at what on the court. So Isaiah Thomas, I was trying to guard him. He would blow by me in a way that, like, when we were playing, when I'm playing somebody who's not nearly as good as him, who I could stay in front of. Same thing with physicality. I'm playing as a point guard in NBA Live. If I get switched onto a big man, and he will back me down, and he will take advantage of that. So it's stuff like that, which I noticed, which is pretty cool. I also like you. It feels like you can get shots off a lot quicker than you could in the past, as far as gathering and getting the air and having space close in that amount of time. Now you can get quick shots off. So I think just a lot of stuff like that, which is really pleasant to see. And no, it's not perfect or anything, but I've had a lot of good fun playing just regular NBA Live. Rich, I'd like to hear anything you have to say about NBA Live at this point.
I've enjoyed all of the time that I've played with NBA Live. If my Xbox One hard drive had not crashed this week, I would have had already downloaded it through EA Access and played it, but it did crash, and my new one just arrived today. Have not had a chance to configure it. But
so you've played only the demo.
I played the demo, and then I played live with Millennium, and we had a lot of fun playing that co-op. We kind of dominated, too, if I remember correctly.
That's been on stream. One of the biggest viewerships on stream and the most fun we ever have is 5 versus CPU, 5 versus 5, or in Madden Mutt Squads.
Yeah.
Like I said, I think there's a real focal point going on. We've said it before, Mutt Squads is probably going to be the competitive mode for Madden. Like, there's a focal point on online sports gaming going towards that group play again, which is something that I think fell off for a little while there. Mm-hmm. And it's really making a comeback, and it's showing just how successful it is. If you go on to Twitch and look through the Madden directory right now, I would say 75% of it says Mutt Squads for the other, unless you're a competitive player trying to rank up. A lot of it is Mutt Squads, and Mutt Squads is bringing, you know, common casual users that don't play Ultimate Team into it. NBA Live does sort of the same thing. They're bringing people that, you know, don't normally play online and want to play with their friends, and allowing them to play against the CPU with their friends. And Rich said it perfectly. It's so much fun because you don't have that, I have to beat this other user off the ball. And it's joking and just laughing back and forth, because it's the computer. When the computer beats us, we can laugh at ourselves for that, as opposed to when another user beats us and it kind of gets on you.
And you're also rooting for each other too, which is a lot of fun. It's more fun don't get me wrong, I love scoring, but if it's not more fun, it's almost as fun to give an assist to your friend, because you just feel that great sense of camaraderie. But it wouldn't work if the game itself didn't play well. You know, if it were glitchy, or if people were warping all over the court, or if they were sliding around, or the controls didn't work, none of this stuff would happen. The game itself, like the core gameplay, like we've been talking about, it's legit. And yeah. I'm not going to say that, you know, I don't understand the deep technical aspects of the game. Like, you know, I watch sometimes Dazar, you know, I've worked with him before. There's plenty of videos hosted on Hit the Pass, you know, where he's breaking down with me the pick and roll and all these different aspects of NBA 2K. Unless I were to do that on a regular basis, if you don't get the reps, you kind of lose that kind of stuff. But even without sort of really grasping the deep technical aspects of what's happening, I'm just happy that NBA Live is a game that you can play
you can play it and you're not focused on the glitches and the weirdness. You can just enjoy the game for a couple of matches, 5-on-5, whether you're playing on your own or with somebody. You can just enjoy playing it. You know, clearly it's not as fleshed out as they want it to be. But if you're going to invest in anything, investing in making what you're actually doing the most amount of the time, which is playing basketball, investing in that seems to be the best answer.
All right, one other game. Let's talk about one more game, and that's NHL 18. So we all spent time with the beta, right, the online yep. beta, and came out of that pretty impressed with the NHL 3's arcade mode, EA Sports Hockey League's 3-on-3 variant. Gameplay-wise, I remember the discussion being it wasn't showing a whole lot there. Mills, have you what's new that you've learned from playing NHL 18 through EA Access that we didn't know coming out of the beta?
The defensive skill stick changes the game completely. I know that was in the beta, but they've tweaked it to a point where if you know how to use it, it will change the way you play defense, both against the computer and against another user. You can literally hold the skill stick as you skate around the ice, point it in any direction you want, sweep it any way you want, and if it hits the puck on another user's stick, it immediately comes loose. It is not overpowered because you can deke around it. You have to hit it with the actual stick on the ice. You can't just swing it across another stick. It is the thing that defenders in NHL have been waiting for since last gen, when you could swing the stick around last gen. The offensive moves are fun. The goalie, from what I've heard, and there's a couple of guys that I trust with this way more than me, between the pipes, is a YouTuber that specializes on ESHL user goalie, and he said the controls are much better this year. And what he's felt already through the demo and everything. So the big thing I would say is the defensive skill stick changes the game, and they really concentrated on Ultimate Team offline play. I made up a word that NHL 18 is very co-opable because you can play co-op in anything. Like solo hut challenges, you can play couch co-op, or you can play online co-op, or you can play a mixture of both. In hut, you can play it. In regular games, you can play it. I meant to check franchise. I think you can do it in franchise. I'm not 100% sure yet, so don't quote me on that one yet. But everything in the game, you can play with friends now. And again, it just goes back to all the companies are focusing on this group play again and how much fun it is to play with other people. So if I have this really good hut team and Rich doesn't play hut, we can play together with my hut team against other users.
Have you played any franchise mode? Have you tried out the expansion features yet?
I tried out the expansion feature. The expansion rules are spot on. They work. I have not gone deep dive into it yet. Like looking at the CPU trading AI, which was a little wonky in years past, the CPU drafting AI, which again, also a little wonky. A lot of times they drafted players that were not really a fit for them. And in hockey, it's different because you put your guy down in like the minor leagues for 2 to 3 years and anything but the first 10 picks. But for the most, like the on ice stuff that I've seen so far is good. And I was, when we had that round table about the demo, I was probably the number one critic on what the gameplay was. I mean, I tore it apart, for lack of better words. And I have not turned a complete 180, but I'm at 90 degrees on it right now on what I like so far.
Rich, what are your thoughts heading into NHL here with EA Access?
I've really, really enjoyed what I played of NHL 18 so far. And I played quite a bit. I was lucky enough to be able to get access to it early, not through EA Access, but through EA. And I've talked about it a lot. I don't want to repeat myself too much, but just to sort of set the context, I have an incredibly long and delighted history with NHL. I mean, it of all of the sports games that I played, and I played them all, I have the fondest memories of fierce rivalries with multiple friends through multiple iterations and generations of the game. I mean, so many different best of seven game series played on Xbox Live in NHL back in the original Xbox and PS2 days and stuff. And way back when I was in college playing on the Sega, and very recently playing in our, well, not very recently, but at the end of the 360 era, playing in our online leagues with That Sports Gamer and Scott Binns and a whole bunch of us. And then in a couple of years after that, playing in some EASHL with Cat Bailey and stuff. Like, so every era of NHL, I've been a big fan. But in the last few years, because my life hasn't really allowed me to experience NHL the way that I like to the most, which is online, and my NHL team, the Devils, they've been terrible. So when I play in my franchise, I'm just always playing with the terrible team. It's been sort of a just, it's been a difficult equation for me to enjoy NHL. So long story short, it's not you, it's me kind of a thing with NHL recently. But what I will say is that I've played half a dozen games in franchise mode, and I picked Edmonton because they're a young and up and coming team, and I kind of like Edmonton, and they got obviously Connor McDavid and some young kids, and I played half a dozen games with them, and I really have enjoyed it. My biggest concern with NHL always is the same thing. It's hard to tell the difference between any of the players, and I'm really at this point in my life not even equipped to tell you, but it feels like Connor McDavid has an extra little step. And so just that in and of itself, I'm kind of enjoying playing. So I'm bullish on NHL with my limited experience. It's shiny. It's fast. It's a mature game. Like, if you were to put the three games next to each other, 16, 17, and 18, on three big screen TVs running through three PS4 Pros right next to each other, you'd be hard-pressed to be like, oh, that's definitely NHL 18 or that's NHL 16. But conversely, the maturity of the engine is starting to show, and it feels really tight. And I will absolutely agree. I'll end with where Millennium started. The defensive skill stick, I just dominate. If I could only score, I'd win some games. But I'm barely ever giving up goals because my defensive stick is just destroying people. My problem is, you know, the four moves that I've known for 20 plus years don't work anymore, right? They just don't work. Like, I'm not able to skate across the slot going left to right and then aiming top left if I'm going left to right and score anymore. They just don't get through. And when you skate behind the net and then skate in front of it, that doesn't work anymore, you know? And even it feels like the nice slap shots from the point don't get through anymore. So I don't know how to score anymore in NHL, but I sure as heck know how to defend. All my games are like 1-0, 2-1, and they're all brutal and they take a lot out of you. Like NHL, it sounds silly, but if you doze off for like 35 seconds, you're done. They're going to score a goal. You gotta be on it the whole time, because if you let it go for a little bit, you're going to get scored on pretty quickly. So I'm bullish on it. I'm really enjoying what I played so far.
How do you feel about the arcade mode? So the NHL 3s, is that going to play any sort of role with you? Are you going to be spending time?
Not for
with
me.
That? No.
Nope. And I don't mean that. It's not a simple
really?
Thing.
I thought you would be into that.
It comes down to where I am in my life, and that's not going to fit in my life right now. I have very little online time, and if I'm going to play NHL right now, if I'm not playing against you or playing against Kat, right? I mean, the people that I've played against online or play with Adam, I don't. That's not what I'm looking for. So I'm going to play it. It might become my treadmill game, which means that I'll get through at least a full season, and that'll be fun because it hasn't been my treadmill game for a long time, and it'd kind of be nice to get NHL back in the rotation. So I'm definitely more bullish on it this year than ever. But Big problem. There's a little game called Pro Evo coming soon, and that is just going to take over.
It's crazy this time of year. So I think we'll wrap it up there. We're going to have upcoming shows that go into all three of these games, NBA 2K18, NBA Live 18, NHL 18, in greater detail as we've spent more time with them and get through full reviews and get through trying out all the different modes and reaching deeper points within story modes and everything that comes with that. We also have, like you said, Rich, Pro Evolution Soccer 2018, just a few days away. FIFA 18, later in the month. You got games like NASCAR, and then early October, you got Forza 7, and man, it's a crazy, crazy time to be a sports gamer, but gives us a lot to talk about and a lot to play. We're going to be doing that on upcoming episodes. So thank you, Rich Grisham. Thank you, Mills Gaming TV. Check back with us next week when we'll be going into some of these games and more, even further than we have tonight. Thank you, everyone. Take care till then.